91.3 KXCI Tucson, Real People, Real Radio.
Good afternoon, Tucson. Thanks for joining us today at 91.3 KXCI Tucson, where our broad community with many perspectives comes together, and that community is you. This is Aspen Green with my co-host, Kathy Harris, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. You can learn more on our Broad Perspectives radio page at kxci.org. You can find past shows of ours to enjoy. We have a wonderful interview today with Amanda Rutherford from Step Up to Justice, a pro bono law firm. So, Kathy, I'm so interested in finding out more about Amanda and this wonderful organization and its client services.
Well, I am too. I just think this is the most wonderful organization, and we're so happy to have Amanda here to tell us about it. Amanda Rutherford is a staff attorney with Step Up to Justice, otherwise known as SU2J. She joined SU2J as an intern in the spring of 2018. And after graduating with a JD from the University of Arizona, James E. Rogers College of Law, she completed two fellowships with SU2J. She then served for 3 years as their director of community outreach. Amanda has a bachelor's degree in ecology and evolutionary biology from the University of Arizona and worked in outdoor education before attending law school. She loves to spend her free time in the outdoors, eating delicious food and spending time with her family and community. Amanda, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us about this great organization. Tell us, first of all, what's the history of Step Up to Justice? Why did it start? When was it formed? What was the need for it?
Absolutely. So Step Up to Justice was founded in the fall of 2016 as a privately funded nonprofit law firm here in Pima County. And the reason we founded the organization was really to address the gaps in civil legal services for low-income individuals and families in Pima County. And a lot of people might not know, but that need is really huge. So in Pima County alone, there are about 140,000 people every year who need and qualify for free civil legal services. And before the launch of Step Up to Justice, only about 6% of those people were able to receive that help. And so we call that the justice gap. And Step Up to Justice was founded to help fill this gap.
You know, I'm an attorney myself, and I've always been aware of legal services and counties, but this is a little different. Tell us how this is different from other pro bono services for low-income people.
Yeah, so it is a little different. We are an entirely volunteer model, which means that we rely on the talents of volunteer attorneys from our local community to help our low-income clients with their civil legal needs. There are other volunteer models out there. A lot of them are associated with bar associations or federally funded legal aid. So something that makes us different is we are a standalone organization. We're a standalone nonprofit. So we don't receive any federal funding, which means that we are not restricted by what that funding comes with. So we can serve anyone as long as they financially qualify, regardless of immigration status or reentry status.
You know, my guess is, since you don't take any federal funding, that you have a lot less paperwork that you have to go through too than your average legal aid, right?
Yeah, I bet we have a little bit less, but you know, those grants are so full of paperwork as well. So I don't know, it'd be an interesting comparison.
Yeah, it could be 6-1, half a dozen of the other, who knows?
Yep.
Okay, so it's all volunteer run. It doesn't accept federal funding, but it sounds to me, looking at it, it looks like it's also basically a woman-led organization, is it?
Yeah, so the founding staff and the current staff leadership are all women. So Michelle Mirto and Melissa Spiller-Shiner, who have been my mentors, have been working in this community for cumulative decades and decades and been serving this population and really caring about their neighbors. They are the staff leadership that have been in place since the very beginning. And then we're also supported by a really diverse, incredible board of, you know, men and women from all different sectors of the community. So not just attorneys, but also the business sector, social services. And that's another really important part of the organization. But yeah, the staff and the operations itself is run by women.
Okay. And since you don't get federal funding, that's a pretty gutsy thing to do. How are you funded?
That's a great question. So we are funded a couple of different ways. So we get our funding from grants, court contracts. We have a court contract with Superior Court and the federal court. We also get a lot of individual donations, which is a big part of our funding pool. And it's really easy to donate. You can go online to our website. And another one of those campaigns that we do for individual donations is a tax credit campaign every year. And we are also always looking out for foundations that are interested in the work that we do.
So tell us, what kinds of cases does Step Up to Justice take? Do they take any legal issue that anybody comes in with?
That's a great question. So we don't take any legal issue. We only provide services for civil issues. So we do not do criminal. The areas of civil law that we help with are family law, bankruptcy, evictions, minor guardianship, employment, consumer protection, and end of life planning. So, you know, wills, powers of attorney, things like that.
Okay, that's a lot. As you stated previously, there's obviously a great need for legal services in these areas. So tell us, how do you fill these needs? It seems kind of overwhelming with that many people who need them. You can't really go to court with everyone, can you? How do you fill these needs?
Oh, you're right. It is really overwhelming and it's diverse. So our clients have a diverse set of needs. And so we try to come up with a diverse way of meeting them. We provide legal services in a number of ways. We have legal clinics where clients can meet one-on-one with an attorney to receive legal advice and coaching throughout their process. And they can have as many appointments as they need to represent themselves through that process and continue to have the advice of an attorney. We also have attorneys that take cases for direct representation when the situation is more complicated and requires that. And then we also are really focusing on upstream legal education, where our volunteer attorneys can be educators in the community and do these educational workshops to try and prevent legal emergencies before they happen.
Okay, the upstream education is so fascinating. And I know that, let's just start by talking about rental issues, which is 30% of your cases. In 2018, there were 13,000 evictions and 3/4 of them ended up in favor of the property owner. But it has to be noted that less than 20% of the tenants actually went to their hearings, and 90% of those who did go were without representation. So Step Up to Justice partnered with U of A to design the Tucson Rent Project to deal with these issues through community education, which I think is brilliant. Tell us about this project, because I think it's fascinating.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited about this project. It was our first pilot project into this upstream education realm to see if we really could prevent legal emergencies from happening. And so what we did is we developed a curriculum with the University of Arizona. The RENT stands for Renters Education for Neighborhood and Tenants. And it's a curriculum that goes over tenants' rights and responsibilities under the Arizona Landlord-Tenant Act. We would put on workshops to educate people on the Arizona Landlord-Tenant Act. Arizona's landlord-tenant laws are very different from other states. And so a lot of times people come, they move here from somewhere else, or a friend tells them some information from another state, but it's actually not applicable in Arizona. And in fact, our timelines under that act are a lot shorter, and it can be a lot quicker of an emergency here than in other states. And so people find themselves in a bad situation that they didn't even know was happening. So this project was really with the intention of preventing that, of educating the community on what Arizona's tenant laws are. And we were really excited to find that the first 100 participants that came to our workshop stayed out of eviction court. And then this started our passion for upstream education. And we've now developed a mobile home education workshop called MAP. And we are in the process of developing a few other upstream education workshops, one on bankruptcy and one on end of life planning.
Yeah. And you know, what I found very fascinating is how you decided what to cover in your curriculum. I mean, as I recall, you went out into neighborhoods and asked people what the issues were, and then did constant evaluations as you were doing the workshop about, is this fulfilling your needs? Are there other things? And so you decided what to cover by doing some really good research. And also, I think that you went right into the communities to do the workshops, right? You went into churches and community centers.
Yep, we went into churches. We went into the community food banks around town. local neighborhoods that would allow us in. And then we also hosted workshops at our office. Pretty much anywhere that people would let us come and talk about it, we would go.
And did you have a way to determine whether this project was successful, a way to evaluate it?
So we did some pretty extensive evaluation, especially on this first round. So we did personal follow-up with every single participant via phone call. And then we also tracked court data. So we had access to the eviction data on the court side of things. And then with people's information, we were able to see over the course of a year and longer if anyone did end up in eviction court after they attended our workshop.
What do you tell people who come to the landlord-tenant kind of workshops? What specific things do they need to know?
Gosh, the most important thing that I say all the time is put everything in writing. I think that a lot of communication happens over the phone, it happens in person, and you think that you have stated your rights. You've said, hey, you know, my window has been cracked for 3 months and the summer is coming and it's getting hot out there. Can we get this fixed? But under the Landlord-Tenant Act, if it's not in writing, it didn't happen. And I think that's probably a lot of us lawyers know that, but other folks don't. And we think that we've done what we need to do by communicating. And one of the biggest things that I cannot stress enough is to put all of your communication in writing, because that's how you're going to protect yourself in court and prove that you did what you said you did. And then I think the other part too is just really understanding that getting help or asking for help before something becomes a big deal is really important. Once a housing issue becomes an emergency, it is a huge, huge issue, and it affects a person's entire life. So if you're starting to question something that's going on in your housing, and is this right? Should I get some help with this? Seek legal advice sooner rather than later. You know, better safe than sorry.
Okay. And we want to cover a lot of your other areas that you deal with at this organization too, but I think it might be a good time to take a music break. What do you think, Aspen?
I have never complained about a music break. And today's music is wonderful. You picked the song Hammer and a Nail by the Indigo Girls, and we love them. And we actually got to interview Amy Ray a few months ago. So why did you choose this song for today's show?
Oh, I chose this song because this is what's keeping me going every morning. I think with the state of suffering in the world, with COVID, with everything, I think we're all suffering from burnout and all of this. And listening to this song not only gives me a pep in my step and inspiration, but it also reminds me that we still have work to do. And so let's get out there and do it.
That's a perfect reason. And yes, it did give me a pep in my step this morning. So the Indigo Girls are an American folk rock duo from Atlanta, Georgia, and they formed in 1985. The duo consists of Amy Ray and Emily Saliers. They started out playing gigs on the local folk circuit in coffee houses and schools and self-produced their first album titled Indigo Girls in high school. Together, they have released 14 studio albums, won multiple Grammy Awards, and have been active since the 1980s. Hammer and a Nail is the first single from the Indigo Girls' second major label release, Nomads, Indians, Saints. Hammer and a Nail was written by Emily Saliers, one of the duo, and talks about the need for action as well as thought. She also stresses our responsibility to look beyond ourselves and see the whole world as our community, and reminds her listeners that even a little girl can make a difference if they care and choose to act. So let's listen to Hammer and a Nail by the Indigo Girls. 91.3 KXCI Tucson, real people, real radio. And we're continuing our conversation with Amanda Rutherford from Step Up to Justice.
And thank you for that great song. It's making us feel good right at the moment. So we talked about landlord-tenant cases, which are 30% of your cases, but 40% of your cases are family issues. What kinds of problems are you presented with there?
We see a lot of family law cases come through our doors. We are getting custody, paternity, so folks that aren't married yet or married and they've got children in common. This could be divorce or separation. This could also be post-decrees. So family has already gone through a divorce process and now something has changed and it needs to be modified. Another really important one that we see are helping people with orders of protection to keep themselves and their family safe.
And so then what are the other 30% of your cases?
Right now, we are seeing a lot of people come to get end-of-life documents prepared. We really encourage young people, especially young parents, to get those documents done now. You never know what's going to happen, and having those in place can really, really help your family and your loved ones. We also help with bankruptcy, consumer protection issues. We see a lot of employment. We help with Social Security issues, as well as minor guardianship.
Wow, that really covers a lot. How is it decided whether someone is eligible for services, and is there any charge for the services at all?
Great question. So we are not restricted on who we can help as long as they financially qualify and there aren't any conflicts. So we follow the same federal poverty guidelines as federally funded legal aid so that we're able to cross-refer to each other. And the way that we determine this is we do an intake interview with the potential client. So we do that over the phone and we just ask a series of questions, including financial questions, to determine if they meet our eligibility requirements. And if they do, then they become a client and there is no charge for any of our services ever.
Okay. That's pretty good. You know, talk just for a second here about the right to an attorney. A lot of people think that they have a right to an attorney when they go in for landlord-tenant or all kinds of cases, family issue cases. That's not really true, is it?
No, this is such an important thing to talk about because it's amazing how, I mean, you and I are attorneys, so we know this, but so many people, regardless of status and experience and income, truly believe that you're entitled to an attorney in most situations. And the reality is in fact, you only have a right to an attorney in certain criminal cases where you're facing jail time. In civil matters like evictions, family law, you are not entitled to an attorney unless you can afford one or you have resources like Step Up to Justice or other free legal aid services. You're representing yourself.
Okay. Yeah, I think that is a very important distinction that people should know about. Can you give us some specific examples of cases that you help out on? I read about one on your website that I think you worked on, Amanda, where a family was evicted due to medical needs. It kind of just hurt my heart to hear about this one. Or any others that you want to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. The housing cases are really hard. I think the housing case that pulls at my heartstrings and will always give me hope that we were really proud of was client Diana had paid cash for a mobile home and gotten a handwritten receipt, but was never given it. And it was a sketchy situation. And so she had paid cash, was finally a homeowner, and years later was told that she in fact didn't own the mobile home and they were going to take it back. And we were able to get an attorney to represent her and negotiate with the other side. And she got the title to her trailer and was finally able to really feel like she owned that property. So that was a really successful and feel good moment that we had with one of our housing cases. Another one that we had recently was a family law case where a client came to us because an order of protection had been filed against her, but it actually led us to discover that her ex-husband had filed for divorce fraudulently. And we were able to have an attorney represent her and get that overturned and have it reheard. And a much fairer settlement came out for that divorce in that family law scenario. Pima County, unfortunately, we are in need of quality, affordable housing. So we have a lot of people come to us with habitability issues. Last winter, we had a woman come to us with no electricity, and the landlord's solution was to give her an extension cord that she could plug into her neighbor's unit to keep her fridge and her small space heater running, which is unacceptable. And we guided her to work with code enforcement. And over the connections with those, the landlord finally repaired the wiring and she has full electricity and full use and enjoyment of her home now. So we were really grateful that that one worked out too.
Oh my gosh. There's just a case for everything, isn't there?
There really is.
Another question just occurred to me while you were talking. You do get attorneys in the community to represent people pro bono. And as I recall, now this is back in Michigan, most law firms do set aside a certain amount of time for their attorneys to do pro bono work. So you are able to get people to do that. How many attorneys do you have on your list that are able to do pro bono work like that?
So right now we have a roster of 261 volunteer attorneys and we love them all.
Wow. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. you're known for taking a, quote, holistic approach to legal issues, which is kind of a different concept. What does that mean in legal services, having a holistic approach?
So we kind of look at this in two parts. The first part is we recognize that every single person that comes to us, the legal issue isn't the only thing that's going on for them. In fact, it might be not even the most important thing on their mind right now. So there's often multiple emergencies, multiple issues going on. And we recognize that helping resolve those issues is going to directly help resolve the legal issue. And so the way that we have developed to handle this is to have really good partnerships with other community organizations and resources. When I talk about this, I mean like personal relationships with people in those organizations so that we can do direct referrals back and forth. We were really committed to finding a way to legitimately not let people fall through the cracks, you know, not just be another organization that hands out a flyer and is like, try these phone numbers. But instead, our director can email her contact over at Emerge and say, hey, we've got this situation. Could you get this person in? And same thing comes the other direction to us. And that has really been an important community web that we have developed and been a part of developing with our community partners that has been impactful. The second part of that, I think, is really the philosophy of client-centered lawyering, where we want to work with our clients to come to the best decision for them. We don't know what is best for them. They do. And we're here to provide information and support and then walk with them on that journey for them to make the decision of what they want to do or what is best for them. And so we really try to empower our clients and educate them, but also just be supportive and a shoulder to lean on.
Yeah, I have noticed we interview people from a variety of social services in Tucson, and they do seem to have a great system here of working together and making referrals to each other, and you do the same. One issue is quite often connected to many other issues. So good for you. Now, you have volunteers other than attorneys that work for you. I'm assuming you probably always need more volunteers at that organization, do you?
Yes, absolutely. Please volunteer. So if you're an attorney, we would love to have you. If you're not an attorney, we have work groups on our board and board members from all sectors of the community that help get this work done. And if you're interested in volunteering, you can go to our website and click join our team and select from the menu there. And we would love to have you.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Well, where can our listeners get more information about Step Up to Justice and to volunteer if they would like to?
Absolutely. So you can find us online at stepuptojustice.org. Go to our website at stepuptojustice.org. If you're interested in volunteering, click on the Join Our Team tab. If you're interested in donating, you can click on the Donate tab. And you can also see all of our community education curriculum and videos on our websites, as well as updates on when we're going to be holding in-person workshops on those community educations. We're also on Instagram.
Okay, that's great. Well, Amanda Rutherford, thank you so much for coming in today and talking to us about Step Up to Justice. Your work is very appreciated by our community, and best of luck to you and the organization in the future.
Thank you so much for having me, you all, and have a wonderful day.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us today. And thanks so much for taking the time to share about this wonderful organization of women that helps provide for those in need in our community. Thanks to all the volunteers who work with you and who give up their time for this as well. And thanks to all of you out there for supporting Broad Perspectives Radio at KXCI. You can learn more about Broad Perspectives Radio on our page at kxci.org. Right now, stay tuned because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and we'll talk to you next week.